Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
We're going to study John chapter 13, verses 31 to 33. John chapter 13, verses 31 to 33. And keep in mind this passage, or this topic, glorifying God. Glorifying God. Let's read. John chapter 13, verses 31 to 33. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Notice that. God is glorified in him. "If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." And, of course, later on he says, you know, you'll be able to follow me later. He says that in verse 36. Verse 36 he says, you can follow me later. Now, in this particular passage, Jesus Christ is getting ready to be glorified. "Now is the Son of Man glorified." And when you go back and you look at passages like John chapter 7, verse 38, 39, where he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he says here, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." See that? It was something that was future from that time. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to his Father, and in verse 1 he says, "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And then he says in verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So the glorification of the Son of Man, the glorification of Jesus, is referring to his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension into glory, where he would be reunited with the Father and have the same glory that the Father had, because the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was designed to bring glory to God. Now, I realize the people glorified Jesus Christ for his miracles, and they glorified him for his teachings, but primarily he came to glorify God, and his main way of doing that was through his birth, his miracles, his work, and his death. And then following that, Jesus Christ was glorified and now has, with the Lord, a glorified body and all that kind of stuff, a body that cannot die and lives with him there and will be for an eternity and all that kind of stuff. Now, you know, in truth, we're going to get a glorified body at the rapture, and we're going to be with the Lord. And we're not, you know, we're going to have the same kind of situation that the Lord Jesus Christ has with the Father right now, in that we are going to be in him and he in us. Now, what we want to do today is we want to simply look at this process here that Jesus Christ was talking about, bringing glory to the Father and then being glorified in him, and notice some things. We're going to look, first of all, at how God was glorified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're going to look at how God was glorified by the stuff that was being done in the early church. And then we're going to look at something that's real significant for us, and that is, how can you and I bring forth glory to God? How can we bring forth glory to God? That's what we're really interested in. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in, and we're going to kind of do a little test and see how we're doing in this department. Because he says, "Whither I go, you cannot come." But then he says, "You'll be with me later." Well, you and I are stuck here right now, and our main deal is to glorify God. I remember when I was in school, on the back wall of the study hall, there was a sign posted up there, which I will never forget. It said, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." Well, if that's our chief end, and there are many references in the Bible to us bringing glory to God, then we ought to figure out what that is and get busy about doing it, don't you think? All right, so let's look at this. First of all, let's look and how God was glorified by Jesus Christ. All right, God was glorified by Jesus Christ, first in his birth. If you'll go over there to Luke chapter 2, you'll notice that the shepherds were told by the host what was going on, and they went in to see for themselves the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came out, and they glorified God for the things that they beheld. Well, there was a virgin birth there, and the Lamb of God was born in a manger. And this young Lamb of God, this baby, was going to grow up and become the King of the Jews and going to die to bring us salvation. I mean, that's a tremendous thing. You know, there are a lot of people today that don't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. People like that can't bring glory to God, but the shepherds did. They glorified God because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, but that's not all. Jesus Christ glorified God by his miracles. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 8, and in Mark chapter 2, you can go over there and look at that at your leisure. There was a fellow that was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ that was sick of palsy. Jesus Christ forgave him his sins and then healed him of his palsy. And these people were thrilled with what they saw. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, verse 12, Mark chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this wise, or never saw it on this fashion. So God, Jesus Christ glorified God by his birth and by his miracles. Well, we're not going to certainly have the kind of birth that Jesus Christ did, and we don't have the ability to forgive sins like Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ also glorified God by his work in John chapter 17. Look at verse 4. We read it already. Jesus Christ said to his Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Well, there's not another human being that is given the work that Jesus Christ was given to do. None of us came to be the Savior of the world. None of us came to die on the cross for the world. That's something very specifically given to Jesus Christ, and in fulfilling that, he glorified God. And then, in Luke 23:47, Jesus Christ glorified God by his death. Luke 23, verse 47, the Bible says, now when the centurion saw that what was done, he's looking there at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Well, none of us could do those things that Jesus Christ did there to bring glory to God. Wasn't given to us to do. But we see from these verses that the whole life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was to do basically one thing. I mean, in addition to the specific things that we know of that he did for us, he glorified God. That's what his life was about, bringing glory to his Father. Now, when he left, as he said here, whither I go, you cannot come, he left his apostles here, and obviously they were to bring glory to God, and they did. One of the first things that the apostles did, particularly Peter and John, is that they healed a man who was lame outside of the temple in Acts chapter 3, and that guy, leaping and praising God, told them all, you know, professed that he'd been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, that made the Pharisees furiously mad. And so they, you know, told him, you can't preach in this name anymore. And, you know, they locked him up and they beat him and all that kind of stuff. And when the people found out what had happened concerning this man that had gotten healed and concerning the beating that the apostles took for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 21, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Amazing. All men glorified God for that which was done. That was a big, big deal. And, of course, that's what caused the Pharisees to get so upset. They didn't like anything that brought glory to Jesus Christ. They didn't like anything that brought glory to God. As a matter of fact, I don't think there's any verses in the Bible that ever showed any glory to God given by the Pharisees. Why? They came to honor themselves and not the Lord Jesus Christ and not God Almighty. All right, not only in the early church was God glorified by these fantastic miracles that were being done, but God was also glorified by the salvation of the Gentiles. We see in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, that the Jews, first of all, glorified God for the salvation of the Gentiles, particularly what happened down at Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 11, look at verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." So God got glory out of the salvation of the Gentiles, and these Jews were the ones that glorified God. We even find out in Romans chapter 15, verse 9, that, of course, the Gentiles glorified God. Look in Romans chapter 15, verse 9, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Indeed, because when Jesus Christ came, he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when we, fortunately, got in on salvation because of their rejection of Christ, man, all the more reason for us to glorify God. We didn't have a chance. Now, you see all that? The life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was given predominantly to the glorification of God Almighty. The work in the church early on was given to glorify God. But now we're going to look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things that are given to us to glorify God. 7 simple yet profound things you and I can do to bring glory to God. I mean, after all, we are going to get a glorified body like Jesus did. Our passage says, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. God's going to glorify himself in us, and we're going to be glorified in God. If that's what we're heading for, then our lives as saved people ought to be to the glory of God the Father. Now, there's 7 things that we're going to look at that bring glory to God. I'll tell you what they are so you can be looking for them as we go through the remainder of the message. The first thing is answered prayers. But you got to pray to get answers in the first place, so prayer. Fruit production, that is, that we reproduce ourselves by seeing more souls come to Christ. Sanctification, that is, that we take care of the temple of God, which is our body and spirit. The unity in the body, that is, that we together have one mind regarding the things of the Lord God. The ministry of the words of God, that is, that we are putting them out and speaking the oracles of God. Giving, and then finally suffering. These things specifically in the Bible, well, I mean, we can see the verses. These things specifically in the Bible are given to us that we can bring glory to God, because we, like Jesus Christ, are going to have a glorified body, as we see in the text, and because he left and we can't go there till we die, then we ought to be busy daily about these 7 things. All right, let's look at them again. First of all, look to John chapter 14, verse 13. John 14, 13. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Watch it. "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." For what purpose? "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." So the God the Father gets glory when Jesus Christ answers prayers that we pray in his name. You know what that ought to be a motive for us to do? That ought to be a motive for us to talk to Jesus Christ in his name about multitudes of things that we want him to do, so that for no reason other than God can get glory out of those things. I mean, you know, typically, if you think about it, our prayer lives are pretty much consumed with asking for things that we want. And a lot of preaching that you hear is designed to encourage Christians to do that. You know, ask for money and ask for health and ask for faith. That's about the 3 big things that are on the list these days. That's about like, you know, the original thought in our founders, health and wealth and liberty, life, liberty, and happy, the pursuit of happiness. Listen, there's a whole lot more things that you and I can be praying about, predominantly the salvation of souls. We ought to be talking to God daily and regularly and about a lot of things, prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, because that's one surefire way that you and I can bring glory to God. You ought to be busy about that. But that's not all. We ought to be busy about fruit production. Look in John chapter 15, verse 8. John chapter 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. Oh boy, well, here's another thing then. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, that whole passage right there is about I am the vine, you're the branches, my Father is the husbandman, and then therefore we're to bring forth fruit. You know, one of the things I marvel, truthfully, one of the things that I marvel is that in our church, I've noticed, people have reproduced themselves. Somebody that is there has invited a friend of theirs who needed to be in a church like ours, either because they hadn't been saved and they got saved through the ministry of this church, or they weren't growing as a Christian, and by coming here now, they're being fed the words of God and they're growing. And so, sitting in the area with them in the church is somebody that they were responsible for bringing into the family of God. You know what? God gets glory out of that. And Lord willing, and this has been my prayer, Lord willing, our people will do what they've done again for somebody else, and the people that they have brought will do for others what's been done for them. That is, that they will seek to go about producing fruit that brings glory to God the Father. Somebody, you know, it's a funny thing, but people will say, well, I'm going to sing to the glory of God. They're going to stand up there in front of a whole bunch of people, and they sing a song, and they're going to praise God. You know, God gets glory out of stuff like that. But we know specifically from the Bible that if they would be busy about getting somebody else saved and in church where they could grow and reproduce, that Jesus Christ said specifically, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear not just one piece of fruit, but much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. All right, so when we pray to God the Father in Jesus' name and God answers it, God gets glory. When we tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, they get saved, get into church, and start growing and reproduce, God gets glory. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, we find another way God gets glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, God gets glory when we take care of the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, watch it, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, when you read the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it has to do with keeping this body, this temple, clean for the work of the Holy Spirit. So God gets glory out of our sanctification. You know, in other words, when you got saved and you came to Christ, you were a old man and now you're a new creature in Christ. And you know something? The new creature ought to begin to do things that the old man couldn't do. Now, I realize something, and I realize it just profoundly. We are carnal people. Paul said, I am carnal, sold under sin. We are carnal people. In other words, you're not going to make the old man look like much even after you get saved. Not really. Not really. Because he's a carnal thing. Paul said sin works in the members. But what you can do is you can yield yourself to God Almighty to be used by Him as instruments of righteousness. And when you yield yourself to be used by God Almighty, all of a sudden you find yourself doing something in your new man that you couldn't do and didn't do in your old man. I'll give you a perfect example. Personal example, even on top of that. I, as an old man, was in the banking business. God called me to preach. He doesn't call every man to preach, but He called me to preach and enable me, putting me into the ministry. And in the new man, I am doing something right now in talking to you about how to bring glory to God that I never could have done, never would have done, never would have even thought possible to be done in the old man. And so by allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of this vessel, I can do something today for you through the preaching of the Word of God that brings glory to God. That's a wonderful thing. So find out what it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your vessel. Set it aside, set it apart to be used in your spirit and in your body for God's glory, and let Him do it. Let Him do it. All right, then here's another thing that glorifies God. Turn to Romans chapter 15, look at verse 6. And this one is shot all to pieces today, but it still needs to be preached. Romans 15:6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. See, we're to please everyone, his neighbor, and Christ didn't please himself. So we are to seek every way we possibly can to help others, to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that we may with one mind, one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be pretty tough today. You're not going to see too much of that. I would say this, and the reason is you got what? How many different denominations, and everybody is proud of their little quirk. You know, everybody split off of somebody else so they could do their little thing. Let's do this then. I mean, you're not going to bring this thing all back together, and one of the reasons is you've got over 200 modern translations of the Bible, and everybody sees in their translation or in their Greek or in their Hebrew their little specific interpretation and understanding. They run off and they get their little group and they go do their little thing. So to get people lined up today on the same thing is going to be pretty tough. You know what? Let's do this then. If you're in a church, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully in that church, why don't you do the very best you can to be like-minded with the people that you're already associated with and see if you can do your dead level best from having a church split in the church you're in. Try that. God gets glory out of that. He gets glory out of the fact that a congregation of people are like-minded. The Corinthian church had schisms and they had local followings. They had all kind of trouble there. God glorified when you get along and serving one another. So as much as possible, do that in your local church, because otherwise it's pretty tough today. You're not going to get the body of Christ as a whole to agree on anything today. Not much anyway. All right, here's another thing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, another way to give glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So how did God get glory there? By you speaking the oracles of God, and by you ministering as according to the ability which God gives you. So this would be the ministry of the words of God and ministering according to the ability that God gives you. Now, some men have tried to minister beyond the ability of God. That ain't going to work. That won't bring glory to God. That brings glory to the man. And some men have tried to minister at less than the amount that God gave them to minister, and that doesn't bring glory to God. You look like a lazy bum. That won't work. And answering the oracles of God, you've got to have the words of God in order to be able to answer the oracles of God. And as we've told you, so many people have traded in their Bibles for modern translations. They can't bring glory to God because they can't answer as the oracles of God. They have to answer in accordance with modern scholarship. That doesn't bring glory to God. That brings glory to the preacher that taught you. That brings glory to the translators. I'm not going to do that. All right. So far we've seen five ways that we can bring glory to God. By praying in Jesus' name, something specific that God can answer so God can get glory. By producing fruit, and fruit that remains, people that are saved coming to church with you. By setting apart your vessel to do God's work, sanctification. By unity within the body of believers with whom you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And by ministering the words of God in accordance with the ability that God has given you. Now there's two more things. 2 Corinthians 9:13, glory is given to God by giving. 2 Corinthians 9:13, the Bible says, and you can read both 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 for the context. It's all about giving. The Bible says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. So, giving. And this isn't just giving selfishly. Some people give to get. Not like that. God loveth the cheerful giver. This is a situation where you can provide something to somebody who really has a need. And when you do, they glorify God with many thanksgivings on your behalf. And then God returns the money to you as if you were a conduit so you can put it out somewhere else. Missions giving is the greatest way in the world to experience what you just heard right here. Giving to some fella that's on the foreign field, putting his money out there where he can lead souls to Christ, you'll never see until you get to glory, and multiplying your work somewhere else so you're not just spending all the money on yourself selfishly. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, the way to give glory to God is through suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now look at it. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now wait a minute. You know, the man that wrote this is Peter. And in John chapter 21, verse 19, you read that Jesus Christ talked to Peter about how he's going to die, and then the Bible says by what death he should glorify God. If any man knew something about suffering to bring glory to God, Peter did. You know something? When I consider this passage of Scripture and the other ones we looked at today, I realize that we as Christians have not done a very good job of figuring out the way that we are supposed to glorify God. You see, we are to glorify God through praying to Jesus Christ so that God Almighty can answer prayers. We are to glorify God by suffering, by giving unselfishly, by bringing forth fruit to His glory, by being set apart to do His will in the temple of the Holy Ghost, by keeping unity in the body, by being like-minded, and by ministering the words of God in accordance with the ability that God has given us. You know something? We need to ask ourselves the question, how well are we doing in this department? I hope to God, if you're not doing well in this department today, that you will, by God's grace, seek to bring glory like Jesus Christ did to the Father, to Him in these seven areas, the best you possibly can. And I pray that this will be to your encouragement and edification.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.